1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano. President Joe Biden and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu plan to talk today for the first time since an Israeli strike killed aid workers in Gaza. Mounting anger around the world and in the U.S. over those deaths is affecting attitudes, as we hear from CBS News White House correspondent Nancy Cordes.
There is a major wild card here, and that is Congress. Democrats in particular have been growing angrier over Israel's conduct in this war, particularly after this most recent tragedy. So could it make it more difficult to get aid to Israel through Congress, through the House and the Senate? It absolutely could.
Ukraine is lowering the draft age for its army from 27 to 25 as 2 years of war with Russia have thinned the ranks. April showers are here in the frozen form of snow in New England and as heavy wind-propelled rain along the East Coast. In the central U.S., it's the aftermath of damaging storms and tornadoes that blew through multiple states. More from CBS's Dave Malkoff.
You kind of think of tornadoes classically as being in Tornado Alley, maybe in Oklahoma or something like that. But there is a shift that's happening where tornadoes days, the days that are more favorable for tornadoes, are shifting east.
Debate over net neutrality is back. It's the idea that large internet service providers cannot block or slow down broadband online traffic. CBS News tech contributor Ian Schur gets us up to date.
The Federal Communications Commission, the FCC, has been voting on this. And under each administration, the Obama administration, the Trump administration, and now the Biden administration, we've seen them go back and forth, either more of a pro-carrier stance with less regulation or a more tech-focused stance with harder rules about how the internet can be charged for.
Kansas City Chief Receiver Rashi Rice is apologizing for a Dallas car crash that injured four people. KRLD radio reporter Austin York.
Rice has issued a statement saying he met with Dallas police investigators about the accident and takes full responsibility. He's apologizing to everyone impacted by the crash. Last Saturday, two cars, a Corvette and a Lamborghini, were seen racing, and that led to a chain reaction crash. Both of those vehicles were connected to Rice. He owned the Corvette, but was leasing the Lamborghini. Rice was in the Lamborghini at the time of the crash. He was the only person allowed to drive it.
The defending NCAA champion UConn Huskies had to wait 7.5 hours for their flight to Arizona and the Final Four after technical issues kept the plane they were expecting from showing up. They finally took off at 1:30 a.m. Connecticut time. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Critics of President Biden's Gaza policy are sending him a message. 47,000 Democratic primary voters voted uninstructed yesterday. Anthony Chergosky teaches political science at UW La Crosse. He predicted earlier this week the protest vote would be much bigger than 20,000.
It was quite shrewd of them to set that expectation because it will be viewed as a smashing success.
Chergosky spoke with the Wisconsin Eye Public Affairs Network. Wisconsin voters are approving two constitutional amendments that would ban the use of private money for elections and limit who can work on the voting process. Supporters say they're necessary to safeguard election integrity, but opponents say they could leave local elections underfunded and understaffed. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Bucks lose at home. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks lost to the Memphis Grizzlies last night, 111-101. The Bucks now 29-9 at Fiserv Forum this year. Doc Rivers says he became increasingly concerned about Giannis Antetokounmpo's sore hamstring injury as the game wore on.
It was just visible what you saw. You know, I'm protective in that way for right now. Listen, we have, what, 8 games, 7 games? We want to be right and healthy.
Baseball, the Brewers have today off after losing to the Twins yesterday, 7-3. It was the first game in nearly 3 years for starting pitcher Joe Ross. Following two Tommy John surgeries,
Pat Murphy.
Joe will tell you he didn't throw his best, but he competed. I love what I saw, because to go out there, and he hadn't started a baseball game in Major League since 2021, to get back on the hill and compete against a good ball club, the Minnesota Twins. They hit in the clutch, and they took seven walks, which is unacceptable on our part.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A chance of snow showers for the overnight. Cloudy skies, lows in the lower 30s, and north winds gusting around 30 miles per hour. Any new snow accumulation will be well under an inch. On Thursday, a chance of rain and snow with high temperatures warming to the lower 40s. It's 33 at our studios.
Tune in Thursday for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We've got congressional candidate Dr. Kristen Lierley, New Marquette University Law School polling Charles Franklin. Tune in.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. Whatever gets you through the night, it's all right, it's all right. And now, a guy who still likes to build a fort, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight. Great to have you with me on this Thursday night. Sorry, Wednesday night. Got ahead of myself there. I can't wait for Thursday. I've been in Green Bay all week due to weather, and it's got me completely mixed up. It's just been insane, and I can't even... I miss my own bed, but I love Green Bay. I love spending time here, but I'm totally out of sorts. Have you ever gotten like that? It's like I'm staying in hotels. My routine is off. I'm watching a lot of I don't have cable at home either, so I stream everything. So when I'm in a hotel, I actually watch cable, and I don't know why. Like last night, I watched about 6 episodes of Friends and played video poker in my hotel, and I endured commercials. And I could watch Friends on my phone and have no commercials. But why do I do that? Why? I have access to cable, and it's like a drug. I revert back, even though I haven't had cable in 10 years. So that was my night last night, folks. This is Pete Schwabba. This is Nightlight. It is so fun to have you here with me tonight on this Wednesday. We are broadcasting state live all over the beautiful state of Wisconsin. The beautiful, very wet state of Wisconsin. Our state is soaking wet. And that was a brutal couple days. And I guess, I don't know if it's still snowing where you guys are, but let me know if it is. We're pretty much done with it, I think, here in Green Bay in northeast Wisconsin. My own house in Marinette, the Marinette area, does not have power, and they are saying it could be days. I think we're kind of low priority given where we live. Days without power. So I pretty much had to hotel it just to have wireless and be able to prepare the show. It's crazy. But I do miss my own bed. I'm leaving here to go to Madison on Thursday or Friday morning. If you're in Madison, come and say hi at the Wisconsin Film Festival. It starts Thursday. Got a great show tonight. Jeff Kurz will be here. Jeffrey Kurz. He is part of a group that is working hard to bring incentives to Wisconsin for filmmakers. And Wisconsin, I guess, used to have them. We'll ask Jeff this. I didn't live here at the time, but as I understand it, they did not last that long. Jeff is also a filmmaker himself. He was on the show a few weeks ago to discuss a film he made called Deep Woods. Great guy. And he will give us a progress update to see where things are at with the Wisconsin incentives. It is a bipartisan bill that was started by 3 Republicans. And they've got some really good people working on this, I think primarily Milwaukee-based. But Jeff will tell us where things are at and what benefits we will see here in Wisconsin, even if you're not in the film business. We are only one of 5 states that do not have a film office, which I find interesting. Then in hour number 2, Ben Reiser hangs out as long as he would like, and we are going to talk Wisconsin Film Festival, which I mentioned starts tomorrow. Ben is the director of a lot of stuff, operations, venues. I think he does pretty much everything. I think he has a say in which films get selected too. I could be wrong, but he's got great taste in movies. He's been a guest on the show before as well. We've talked movies and TV. And he'll give us a rundown of what we can expect at this year's festival. Opening night is tomorrow night at the Barrymore Theater in the Atwood neighborhood in Madison, which is really cool. That's a really fun night. They give out awards, and then they always pick one film to show the whole group. I don't know what the Barrymore holds. I'm guessing about 800 to 1,000 the last couple of years it's been in Shannon Hall in Madison on the campus. But the Barrymore is a great venue, great people involved with that festival. We'll hear more about it in the second hour. I will be down there hosting Q&As, introducing films. So much fun every year at the Wisconsin Film Festival. And you can, if you want, you can go to PBSWisconsin.org and check out this year's episode that I hosted called Director's Cut. And we talked about the Wisconsin Film Festival. We met some filmmakers, played some clips. I believe that is still available on the PBS website. So if you're looking for some TV to watch, check it out and you will learn more about said festival. Other than that, Conrad, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good.
Ready to take some texts?
As always, ready to take texts.
I don't think you've ever missed one, buddy. You're on it.
Never have missed one.
It's like the Joe DiMaggio. It's like the 56-game hitting streak. Conrad has never missed a text. It's going to happen at some point. Let's just be honest, but keep that streak going. Did you know, Sherry says hi from Horicon. Hi, Sherry. Great to have you with us. I was worried about Sherry. She was one that told us Facebook was down the other day, right?
Yeah.
So she had to listen. She had to slum it and actually listen to the radio. Sherry, we're glad you can see us again. But people, how they can watch on the stream, Conrad?
Yeah, so on Facebook, we're under WGBW, under Nightlight with Pete Schwaba as well. YouTube, we're under Civic Media. And on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it, WGBW.
Fantastic. Drop us a message through the stream. We'd love to hear from you that way. You can text us. Our question tonight, all right, I have to set this up. So I promise we're going to let this go at some point, folks. But 7-Eleven took kind of a cheap shot with their April Fool's gag. They released it like a week ahead of time, and it was called hot dog flavored seltzer water. Obviously, it's disgusting. We had fun with it one night. Then it turns out, you know, 8 days after they released it, it was an April Fool's joke, which I think is Bush League. You can't do that. What was the one that came out on April Fool's? Was that the potato chip? No, that wasn't an April Fool's joke.
No, that was real, yeah.
Yeah, that was real. Those are your actual...
It was the sour cream and onion Pringles Olipop.
Yeah. And that came out on April Fool's Day, fine.
Yeah.
It's fair game, but you can't do it on like March 26th. That's ridiculous. So anyway, I found this list of horrible products. What do I do with that? They're prank products for April Fool's Day, which include delicate sour cream and onion soda, hot dog sparkling water, Omaha Steaks meaty spritz spray, Scotch brand Scotch whiskey made by the people that make Scotch tape.
That is great.
I love it.
That was great.
Rosetta Stoned translation app, a supposed team up between language learning software company Rosetta Stone and a medical marijuana company Fluent aims to help cannabis newbies learn the lingo with an app called Rosetta Stoned. You can learn all the weed. You could talk like a weed smoker. And then this one was great. Not extra flaming hot milk. Pepsi said its line of extra flamin' hot chips available in the Walkers, Doritos, and what's its crunchy lines of products? I don't even understand those. Will be accompanied in Britain by the sale of not extra flamin' hot milk to name the spicy snacks more bearable to make the spicy snacks more bearable to the supposedly heat averse British palate. So they have to put out a flamin' hot milk that they say isn't too spicy for milk. So this got me thinking, if you have a horrible product, please share it with us. You can text us your bad product. It could be hot dog flavored water-esque, Rosetta Stoned, whatever it is. If you have a bad product that could be a good April Fool's joke or just a good bad product to share, please do that with us. 855 752-4842-855-75-CIVIC. Let us know what your bad product is.
See, I think this is like a Larry David thing. Like, remember his New Year's? It was like, it's 3 days, and then you're done.
Oh, right. Yeah.
It's 3 days.
Yeah. I would say a week. I think Larry David's pretty...
Well, I'm saying with that with April Fool's as well.
Yeah.
You know, so...
And this is April 3rd. So we will let it go. I'm still irked by 7-Eleven. I just think they should be better than that. I've wasted a lot of money in there. And then that's how they do me. So please let us know. What is your crazy, horrible product? Would love to hear that. Today is National Walking Day. Hope you got out and took a walk today. I'm at a point in my life where walking is considered exercise. I remember in college, all the wellness people saying, you know, you got to exercise. Take a walk to the lake. Walk. And I'm like, walk? That's not exercise. You go to the gym. You get the treadmill. You play rugby or frisbee ultimate. Walking's not exercise? Now it is. If I don't get my steps, I feel like crap. So happy National Walking Day, everybody. Got some birthdays, too. Alec Baldwin turns 66 today. Eddie Murphy turns 63. Marlon Brando, it's his birthday today. He died in 04. I think he lived till he was 80. And some big releases on this day. The Killing. Did you ever watch The Killing, Conrad?
I have not.
Not The Killing, Conrad. That sounds like a great movie, though. The Killing, Conrad.
I got to make a script for that.
He's coming for you. you could just beat people to death with the radio board.
There we go. That might be a little too heavy to do that. I don't know.
Yeah, it'll be tough.
Maybe just the microphone.
Just the microphone. There you go. The Killing. It was released in 2011. A really good mystery series set in Seattle. Good cast. It's about a girl that goes missing, how the family deals with it, the cops working on it. I think Joel Kinnaman was in it. Really good show if you're looking for something to watch. In 2011, it used to be on Netflix. I'm not sure where you can find it now, but I'm sure you can stream it somewhere. 2001, A Space Odyssey was released on this day in... I did not write that down for some reason.
2001, right?
No, that's in the title. 2001, A Space Odyssey was released in... Stand by... 1968.
Oh, I was way off.
No, and they were, and they... Again, we played a clip from War Games the other night where AI was sort of flexing its muscles with Matthew Broderick, and he was playing Global Warfare. This was ahead of its time, too, where the computer would not let the astronaut back in the pod bay. And the actor, what was his name again? Forgetting all these names now. I don't even know if I'm saying this right. Cair Dalia. I don't know. I used to know. He says, open the pod bay door, Hal. And Hal is the computer, says, I can't. He's working against the astronauts. Stanley Kubrick film, really good film if you have not seen it, despite the fact that I can't remember how to pronounce the lead actor's name. It is a very good film. The Fast and the Furious. Furious 7. I can't even keep these straight. Fast and Furious. Do you know what number that is?
They just keep getting more unrealistic every single movie, so I stopped keeping track.
Just give them a number. If you're not going to, like, because some of them are like The Fast and the Furious, then just Fast and the Furious, The Furious, Furious 7. Like, you name that, we gave that one a number, but not the other ones. All kinds of stuff. We're going to hear some great Marlon Brando and a classic scene involving Alec Baldwin and Glengarry Glen LaRosse when we come back. This is Pete Schwab and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Former state senator and majority leader in the state Senate, Dale Schultz.
Legislators aren't doing their job. But what I would ask all the listeners is, have you taken stock in your legislator? Do they really deserve to be there? Do they really want to be there in a polite way? Ask them to come and share a vision, listen to you, and say we want regular communication. And I think if we do that, the system will serve us very well.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
This message is for Shauna, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You taught me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you have made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back. Great to have you with me on this Wednesday night. You know, I just realized I was talking about the weather before, as I often do. I'm a bit obsessive. We were supposed to get, in Green Bay, like 16 inches of snow. There, look at outside, there's nothing out there. So did it all come in the form of rain?
Yeah, I think so. And I was praying for that last night.
Me too. That is fantastic. Wow. I haven't been home in a couple of days. I don't know what they got up there in the Marinette area. I know they got, like I said, we are out of, our power's gone, and they say it could be days before it comes back. So if you are looking for a place to go looting, what? I can't say that. Sherry says that was a good movie, talking about 2001, A Space Odyssey. I agree, Sherry. And I'm due for a rewatch. That was probably my favorite Stanley Kubrick movie when I was younger. And I'm a little out of practice now, but I'll have to revisit that one. We got some texts here, too, from the 603, a new or unrecognized texter. Always love to see that. Thank you for participating. KFC flavored potato chips in Greece. Actual product. KFC flavored potato chips in Greece.
That sounds interesting. Like, is it?
It doesn't sound terrible.
So it's just chicken flavored.
Fried
chicken flavored. I don't know.
Yeah. You know what?
It doesn't sound like the worst. Yeah.
No, this is like the worst. And KFC has great coleslaw. If they made like a coleslaw chip.
Oh, no.
I would probably mow a whole bag of those things.
Really?
Maybe, yeah.
That sounds gross.
Well, I have manners. I use a napkin. And, from the 608, Rico from Rock County. Where you been, Rico? We almost sent out a St. Bernard. Good to have you back, buddy. Hey, Pete, Rico here. Surprise, you know Ultimate Frisbee. I used to play that in the 80s. Great game. It is a great game, and I was obsessed with it a few years ago. Who did we have in here the other day that was talking about Frisbee Ultimate? Oh, one of the cello player.
Yeah.
Adam Korber was talking about how he played Frisbee Ultimate. He plays disc golf, too, which sounds really fun, too, but you don't get the high, the adrenaline rush you do playing Frisbee Ultimate. It is a phenomenal game. And I will probably play again if the opportunity presents itself. Expect to be sore for 2 weeks and then keep playing. You get those muscles back. But it's a lot. It's a very intense game.
I played that in high school gym.
Oh, like in gym class?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
So it's still around. Still kicking.
Oh, yeah. No, they have leagues. My brother-in-law's son, who would be my nephew, Owen, plays on the Michigan team, and we went to see a couple games, and those guys are so good. It is so much fun to watch. Well, it's great to watch people who are great at what they do, but as a casual Frisbee Ultimate player, I loved watching a really well-oiled college team play. That was really fun. This is the day, too. This was going to be our question tonight. The first iPad was released today.
Oh.
Yeah, my son Joe and I were talking about this earlier, and he was like, do you wish technology would have stopped somewhere? Because right now we're so obsessed with our phones. There's all kinds of studies talking about anxiety with kids who are buried in their phones and social media. So that was going to be the question. I think at the point of the iPad coming out, it's sort of too late. Because that's like a smartphone in a way. But we kind of agreed that we both would like it if technology had stopped at the flip phone. Like, so that you could text and contact people immediately, but before social media took over our lives. I don't know. What do you think? Am I off on that?
Yeah, I mean, I used to work in retail. So, you know, when I'd see parents come in and they'd have like a 5-year-old kid just sitting on the bench with an iPad, like, when I was that young, I would be like hiding somewhere in that store or something, playing around. So I don't know, but
like on an iPad?
No.
You mean running around? And horsing
running around the store?
Yeah, totally.
It's, I don't know. It's definitely crazy to see what it's come to now. You know?
Yeah. I'm on the fence because I love so much about what you can do with an iPad or a smartphone. I watch a sitcom every night before I go to bed on my phone. I play video poker on my phone. I mean, I don't think I'd want to give those up, but I do long for the days because I remember before social media and all that, as most people remember before social media. But yeah, it kind of got all obsessive. So today is Alec Baldwin's, 66? Alec Baldwin is 66 today. And it made me remember, this is my weird Hollywood thing. I have a Toyota Land Cruiser that used to belong to David Mamet, the writer-director, who won an Oscar for The Verdict with Paul Newman. It just happened. I was looking for, I love Land Cruisers. It was like 2009. I was looking for one. A friend of mine said David Mamet's nanny was trading in David Mamet's. So I ended up, it ended up in my possession. I own the car. I thought it would bring me inspiration as a writer. It didn't. I'm still not David Mamet, but it's a great car. I've had it nonstop. I love David Mamet as a writer. And he wrote a film called Glengarry Glen Ross that Alec Baldwin has a very iconic, memorable scene in. Also in the scene are Jack Lemmon, Ed Harris playing salesman. Alec Baldwin comes in as this cocky boss trying to give them a pep talk. Let's hear that now, Conrad.
Have I got your attention now? Good. Because we're adding a little something to this month's sales contest. As you all know, first prize is a Cadillac Eldorado. Anybody want to see second prize? Second prize is a set of steak knives. Third prize is you're fired. You get the picture? Are you laughing now? You got leads. Mitch and Murray paid good money. Get their names to sell them. You can't close the leads you're given. You can't close shit. You are shit. Hit the bricks, pal, and beat it, because you are going out.
The leads are weak.
The leads are weak. The leads are weak. You're weak. I've been in this business 15 years.
What's your name?
You. That's my name. You know why, mister? Because you drove a Hyundai to get here tonight. I drove an $80,000 BMW. That's my name. And your name is your wanting, and you can't play in the man's game, you can't close them, then go home and tell your wife your troubles. Because only one thing counts in this life. Get them to sign on the line which is dotted. A, B, C. A always, B, B, C closing. Always be closing. Always be closing.
Conrad, take a memo. Always be closing. Such a great scene. Great movie. Hey, get in on our question tonight. If you could create a disgusting product, what would it be? Hot dog flavored seltzer water? Rudy Tooty fresh and fruity potato chips? Those actually exist. What would yours be? Let us know at 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. And we will discuss it. There's been some good ones so far. Coming up in just a couple minutes, Jeffrey Kurz will be here too. I want an update on Jeff's movie too, because he did this film called Deep Woods. We talked about it a few weeks ago on Nightlight. And it's out there. You can view it. But he's also working hard to bring incentives to Wisconsin with a group based out of Milwaukee. We'll get an update from Jeffrey in just a few minutes. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The grand facade, so soon.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, home for the Devil's Advocates.
CBS News Brief, the founder of World Central Kitchen says he does not believe the Israeli attack that killed 7 aid workers in Gaza was a mistake. Jose Andres.
3 British individuals and three international crew plus 1 Palestinian, that they were targeted systematically, car by car.
Part of the central U.S. is cleaning up after tornadoes. CBS's Dave Malkoff is in Sunbright, Tennessee, heavily damaged, but the warning may have saved lives.
It was 15 to 20 minutes. That is a lot longer than the national average, which is around 12 minutes or so. So people got a really good heads up when it came to this.
Kansas City Chief Receiver Rashi Rice is speaking about a Dallas car crash, as KRLD radio reporter Austin York tells us.
Rice, he's apologizing to everyone impacted by the crash. 4 other cars were involved and 4 people were injured. One of those cars was totaled.
CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Toscano.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin Supreme Court is staying out of the dispute over which district map should be used if Assembly Speaker Robin Voss faces a recall election this year. The Wisconsin Elections Commission had asked the High Court for a ruling. A recall Voss group is trying again after coming up short this spring. The WEC has a week to decide what to do. Donald Trump is the winner of the Republican presidential primary in Wisconsin. He also campaigned in Green Bay yesterday.
A vote for Trump is a vote to save Wisconsin and is a vote to save your country. This country is finished if we don't win this election.
President Biden won the Democratic primary. He campaigns in Madison Monday. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk.
And I can just now hear somebody going, it sounds like you guys are supporting public schools. They indoctrinate people. You know what? If they indoctrinate people towards democratic ideals, well, then I guess I'm an indoctrinator. You know, if you're not defending democracy, again, I'm concerned about what you really do support.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Cloudy today with a few lingering sprinkles or flurries and gradually becoming less windy into the afternoon. Our high 43, the wind north at 15 to 25 this morning, 5 to 15 by later this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy, 27. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 48. We're back to 53 for a high on Saturday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 33.
The Todd Alba Show.
Former state senator and majority leader in the state Senate, Dale Schultz.
Legislators aren't doing their job. But what I would ask all the listeners is, have you taken stock in your legislator? Do they really deserve to be there? Do they really want to be there? In a polite way, ask them to come and share a vision, listen to you, and say we want regular communication. And I think if we do that, the system will serve us very well.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Matt and Air on Air.
So we're going to talk monarch butterflies and what we can do to help their habitat, because that's one of the biggest reasons why we're seeing our monarch population decrease. As Greg said, we know how much I loved Winged Thingas.
Winged Thingas! That's the name of our band. Calvin, me, Jane, Winged Thingas.
The Winged Thingas.
Matt and Air on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Did you miss what's hot from Wisconsin to Hollywood? Listen to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba podcast on civicmedia.us. You can always listen through Spotify, Apple Podcast, or the Civic Media app. Take Nightlight with Pete Schwabba anywhere you go. Once again, here is your host, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back. So, we have some pretty good products here. John introduced himself as our new texter in the 603. John in Madison. Hey, John, welcome aboard. Thanks for listening. Keep those suggestions and texts coming. Love when you're part of the show. The 608 Rico says, the flavor of the day at Culver's and make it a lasagna or spaghetti. That is gross. That's horrible.
That is gross.
Spaghetti flavored custard.
Oh, God.
Some idiot would eat it, though. I mean, the Kerner Burger was a joke and people clamored for it.
Well, would you have meat sauce instead of sundae chocolate?
I wouldn't.
Noodle flavored ice cream.
No, thanks. And then from the 818, Bridget says, cheeseburger in a tube. That's the all-new cheeseburger in a tube. She says you can buy it at Amazon for $17. What does that mean? Is it like a one of those kits you buy, like you make your own pasta? Cheeseburger in a tube.
Yeah.
Any food in a tube.
A cheeseburger paste.
Just doesn't work. Hey, we're going to talk Wisconsin Film Festival in the 8 o'clock hour. Ben Reiser will be here. He is part of a group that puts on a really excellent, phenomenal film festival every year. And we're going to break it down for you, let you know what you can see, the venues, all kinds of fun talk in the 8 o'clock hour. But right now, we welcome another prominent figure in the Wisconsin filmmaking scene. He's a filmmaker himself and what I like to call an incentive activist, Jeff Kurz. Hey, Jeffrey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing very well. You, this is your second visit to the show. Last time you were here as a filmmaker to talk about your excellent film Deep Woods, which was fun. And now we're going to talk some incentives.
Yeah, I don't know how I got so lucky, Pete, but I am.
Well, you're a lucky guy. I'm a lucky guy to have you here. Tell us a little bit about where things are at. You are, for those of you that don't know, when you make a film or a TV show, you go somewhere to shoot it that is financially feasible for a studio, for your investors. If it's a private film, they offer rebates or some other kind of tax incentive. They're very important to state economies, or they can be. Some states have had them and done away with them. A lot of states have them now. Wisconsin, I know, is only one of five states, I believe, Jeff, that does not have a film office.
It's actually one of 10 states that does not currently have film and television production tax incentives.
Yeah, okay, so 10. So that's, yeah. We don't have legal weed. We don't have a film office. You can't do anything here, man. Help us, Jeff. Help us change this. So where are things at right now?
Well, it sounds like you can have, like, odd flavors of custard here. So, you know.
That's the trade-off? Okay.
Well, no, it's not. Better days are coming. So I'm part of this statewide coalition called Action Wisconsin, and it's been formed to promote the possible return of film and TV production tax incentive credits to Wisconsin. And so where we are with this is that we've hired a lobbyist. And bills have been written for both the Assembly and the Senate. We have a bipartisan group of 18 legislators who are co-sponsoring these bills, and they will be voted on in January of next year. So we're spending the next 8 months just kind of reaching out to people and informing them about how important these tax incentives are to the economy of the state of Wisconsin. It's a program to create and retain jobs. They boost local economies and they promote tourism.
Absolutely, they do. And Jeff, you just said it's going to be voted on in 2025. What's the biggest hurdle when it comes to that? Getting other legislators on board, taxpayers on board, a combination of both?
It's really about the legislators. So here's the thing. So we're reaching out to legislators. We're also really reaching out to community officials and community leaders. and just about anybody who will listen to talk to them about how they can benefit from this program, because it's not just about people who work in the entertainment industry. There are so many different industries that benefit when a production happens in the state, whether it's a local production. And by the way, there are some people who think, well, movies, those don't happen in Wisconsin, but there's actually quite a bit of Wisconsin film activity. But there are also obviously productions that want to come to the state. And when they come to the state, when a movie is being made or a television series is being made, there are so many other businesses, so many other industries that benefit from restaurants, hotels, other hospitality, retail, just about anybody will benefit from this kind of activity.
So what I've heard different breakdowns. I remember my buddy Bob Brown helped write the Michigan law years ago. They don't have them anymore, but it was something like every dollar spent, like $5 or $10 come back to the economy, like every dollar of budget on the project spent, that is. How much would come back in Wisconsin? Is there an estimate?
Well, here's the thing. So there are, and the estimates vary. I will tell you that, so some of your listeners, you and some of your listeners might be aware that the Bravo series Top Chef filmed in Milwaukee, Madison, Door County last fall, and it's airing right now. And they estimated that while Top Chef was filming here, they were responsible for 7,000 hotel rooms during their shoot, which generated $4 million alone for the economy. So if you, and by the way, you should also, one of the things that people don't really pay attention to is sales tax, which is the sales tax in Milwaukee right now is 7.9%. So when you think about 7.9% of $4 million, that's a huge gain in local economies for the state of Wisconsin. So really, it's the return varies. But what we want to do is we want to do this very smartly, because we have seen, there are cities like Chicago, Atlanta, New York, Los Angeles, that are responsible for creating these big budget movies, right? Marvel movies. And we're not necessarily, we're not really talking about competing with those, with those cities. We want, first of all, to promote and to benefit the citizens, the people who live here, who work here and who pay taxes here. So right. We're looking at maybe like a smaller model for a movie, which is still very viable. And once again, the return is really great. So the last time I was on your show, I was talking about this movie that I produced called Deep Woods, right? And we shot in Milwaukee, but we also shot in the Kewaskum area. We hired a local caterer. She did a great job. And she made a lot more money that year than she would have if we hadn't come through town. So that's just one example of how local businesses can benefit when a production comes to their community.
I have to, you have to indulge me just for a minute here, Jeff, because Conrad is from Kewaskum and has a story.
I know, it's a great town.
He has a story about Deep Woods too.
Yeah. So, that bar that you, filmed in, fifth quarter. One of my friends, his dad actually owns the bar, and I had no idea until I saw the movie, but it was funny because, the outside of the bar doesn't look so much like it is Kewaskum.
Well, that's the magic of movie that we used a different exterior.
Yes. And also the place where they got breakfast.
The Gateway Cafe, yeah.
Yeah. I just remember eating there as a kid. So it was really cool to see in some of those locations in films because I've never seen it before.
You know, and that was another thing. I think there's also a real kind of like civic pride when a production comes to your town. I mean, we had such a great time in Kewaskum with the Fifth Quarter, the Gateway Cafe. Not only did we film at the Gateway Cafe, but they also catered, our entire shoot. We took over the basement of the Unitarian Church there for a production offices for a little bit, and people could not have been friendlier, and they get to be in a movie. Right.
It's so great, Jeff. You just reminded me of something too. When I shot, when we shot The Godfather of Green Bay in the Marinette area, we had kind of a joint. It was a community effort, and obviously there were no incentives back then, but the favors we got, I can't even put a price on it. Like hotel rooms, everything. We had, there was a local guy named John Hofer who was ran the marketing department of the local hospital. He gave us an old abandoned psych ward to make our production offices. So we ended up housing a lot of crew there, and all of the stuff in the rooms was like anti-suicide stuff. Like the showers were like 5 feet, so you couldn't hang yourself. Right. All this crazy stuff. The stories you end up having, being able to tell when you're done in a community, especially a small community, I think is really fun. And like in your case, you can't tell me there aren't pictures of actors and shots and everything in these places just to mark when a movie was shot there.
And you know, so that's just one example of the beauty of filming in Wisconsin. Is there's just, so, first of all, there are great locations that we have not seen in movies or television series before. And right. The goodwill is so amazing. I mean, it's no secret that this movie that we're talking about, Deep Woods, I mean, did not have a very big budget. And I was able to do so much more than I would have if I had shot in Chicago or Atlanta or any other major city.
Right.
I needed a helicopter. I needed dogs that looked like wolves. And however it happened, I was able to achieve everything I needed to do for that movie for a fraction of the price. But there's such a big component of job retention for the entertainment industry in this state, because we shot that movie at the end of 2019, right before the shutdown. I had the most amazing crew that I've ever had. If I shot that movie today, I would have a really great crew also, but I wouldn't have that same crew because everybody's left. They've gone to Los Angeles, they've gone to New York, they've gone to Chicago. And that's what we want to try to avoid in the future, is having these people who frankly want to live and work in Wisconsin, we want to give them the opportunity to do that.
It's interesting what you said with Wisconsin's locations and the beauty. There's so many different elements, or so many different locations you can shoot in: farm, woods, lakes, cities. You know, I remember a time around 2005, 2010, where every movie I watched on Netflix looked like, well, it had Nicolas Cage in it, and it looked like it was shot in the bayou. Like, Wisconsin has so many different, I think, honestly, it got exhausting. I was like, oh, here's another film shot in Louisiana where they don't have as much. Wisconsin really kind of has everything.
Well, and the beauty of those locations that you just mentioned is that they're all pretty much 30 minutes away from each
right.
other. You know, you can be in downtown Milwaukee and travel 30 minutes and be on a farm. Seriously.
Yeah.
So that's one of the great advantages also of filming here, is that just the accessibility.
What kind of percentages are we looking at? Have you guys gotten that far, or what you would ask for
here's what we want to do. So, you know, tax incentive, as you pointed out at the beginning of this conversation, tax incentive programs in this country have kind of come and gone, right? And we want to do this very smartly, because we don't want this to be a situation where big productions come into the state, suck out all the money that part of this program, and then leave. We want the first and foremost the state and the people who live in the state to benefit. So only certain qualifying expenses will be reimbursed at a rate of 25%. So this is a 25% tax credit that we're offering. But that would go towards salaries of people who actually live in the state, and monies that are actually spent in the state for lodging, for restaurants, what have you.
We will have more coming up with Action Wisconsin filmmaker and incentive activist, if I can call you that, Jeff. Coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on air.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Former state senator and majority leader in the state Senate, Dale Schultz.
Legislators aren't doing their job. But what I would ask all the listeners is, have you taken stock in your legislator? Do they really deserve to be there? Do they really want to be there in a polite way? Ask them to come and share a vision, listen to you, and say we want regular communication. And I think if we do that, the system will serve us very well.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
This message is for Shauna, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You told me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you have made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Albaugh Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hey, you can still get in on our question. If you could create a disgusting product, what would it be? Hot dog flavored seltzer water? Rudy Tooty fresh and fruity pancake flavored potato chips? Cheeseburger in a tube? Get in on the fun, folks. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. I'm talking with Jeffrey Kurz, who is a member of Action Wisconsin. They're trying to bring film incentives to Wisconsin to make it easier to shoot movies here. I assume it's for studios as well as independent filmmakers, Jeff, both would benefit?
Absolutely. In fact, it's interesting because, you know, there was a time where the state did have tax incentives, and they were a little bit ahead of their time, I think, because over the past maybe 10 years, I think the film activity, just by the local independent film community here in Wisconsin, has grown exponentially. Every year, there's at least one movie that gets made that plays in major festivals and has a return on its investment. And so both local, you know, with people who are Wisconsin residents and also productions from outside the state will benefit from this. And we'll be able to use this. You know, I should tell you that. John Ridley, the Academy Award screenwriter who won an Oscar for 12 Years a Slave.
Yeah.
He was here in Milwaukee recently to screen his new movie, Shirley, about Shirley Chisholm. He made this for Netflix. And they shot in Ohio. He's a Wisconsin native.
Yeah.
And they shot in Ohio. And before the screening, he said, you know, I would have loved to have shot this movie in Milwaukee. There's no reason why we couldn't have, except that we don't have tax incentives. So we had to take it to Cincinnati. But I would love to bring any movie that is appropriate here and shoot it in Wisconsin.
And people don't understand that. I think you're a filmmaker, you're the director, producer. You still have people to answer to. You can't just say, well, I'm from Wisconsin, I'm making a film here. It's a return on investment. You have to keep your investors happy or studio executive happy or whoever. You mentioned a 25%. Is that a rebate, Jeff? Cash back, or is that?
No, it's a tax credit. So okay. What will happen is the qualifying 25% of qualifying expenses there'll be an audit. 25% of qualifying expenses will be given to the production as tax credits. Now, productions are limited liability companies, so they don't have a tax liability. So the production turns around, sells that to a company that actually has a tax liability. And for the money, and that goes back into the budget for the movie.
Okay, so Minnesota has really some pretty aggressive incentives. How do you compete? I guess that would be my thing where I would think they pose the most competition. How do we compete? Because the topography, the landscape is kind of similar. Was there any issue to go even more aggressive with what you guys are asking for?
Well, it's funny because you're right. But the whole thing about Midwest Nice, Pete, is that they're being very encouraged. Minnesota, and we're in touch with all of the people who run their program. They are they're being very supportive. In fact, the person who is the head of their incentive program is going to be coming to Milwaukee during the Milwaukee Film Festival, and we're having a panel on April 13th.
Very cool.
And one of the things that maybe some of your listeners don't know is that the city of Superior in northern Wisconsin has its own tax incentive program. And that was formed by this great enterprising woman named Joanne Jardine. And it was created because there's so much film activity going on across the river in Duluth, Minnesota,
right,
that she wanted to be able to create a situation where crew members can be housed in hotels, which are kind of like half the price of Duluth. Equipment can be rented. There can be locations that can be used in Superior. And the filmmakers who are shooting in Duluth can tap into the tax incentives from the city of Superior.
That's so great. I got to get her on the show.
So in answer to your question, Minnesota is being very, and you're right, they do have an aggressive program, but they're being very welcoming. As is, frankly, Illinois. Illinois is bursting at the seams. They want us to have a program.
Wow, that's great. And I hope every state that gets them keeps them, like unlike what happened in Michigan. So what will happen to your committee, Jeff? Let's say the incentives pass. Do some of you go work for the film office? How many full-time employees will there be in a film office? And what will happen to the rest of your committee? Do you go out and actively campaign for projects to shoot here, or do you go about your separate ways?
Well, we are all, right now, a lot of us are already, you know, working producers, working filmmakers. So we'll go off and do our thing. But here's the thing is that we want to be able to stay here in the States.
Right.
I've worked with the BBC in London. I've worked with Film 4 in London. I've worked all over. But the last two movies I produced were produced here because this is where I live and this is where I want to work. And I was able to make them on a budget that was a fraction of the cost of what that I would have to spend in any other community. So in answer to your question, and you bring up a good point about the film office, we're one of five states that does not have a film office. Even states that don't have tax incentive programs have film offices. And we're one of the five states that doesn't. And the importance of a film office is that it's an out of productions that come into the state. It is their kind of one-stop shop in terms of knowing where crew is, knowing what locations are, knowing the permitting system. Anything that they need to know, they can just go to this film office. But what happens now is that productions come here and they act like they're coming to the North Pole. They think that there's nothing going on here and there's nobody to tell them what's going on here. So
yeah.
They feel like they have to bring in their own equipment. We have great equipment rental houses here. They think they have to bring in the cameras. We have great camera rental houses here. We have everything that you need for production, including the crews.
Wow, that's fantastic. Well, I wish you luck, buddy. Let me know how I can help. You're welcome to come back anytime and talk about any progress. I'd love to talk more about this with you. Hey, real quick, we got about 20 seconds. Where can people see Deep Woods?
They can see it anywhere they rent or purchase on VOD. So it's on Amazon. You can buy it or rent it there. You can rent it on Apple. Anywhere you can get VOD. And before you cut me off, I also want to send people over to the Action Wisconsin website. It's actionwi.org. And that's a site where you can contact your legislator and tell them that you want tax incentives in Wisconsin.
Fantastic. Jeff, thanks so much. Have a great night. And keep us posted. Good luck.
I will.
All right.
So much.
That's Jeffrey Kurz, former studio executive, now producing activist. He's doing it all. When we come back, Ben Reiser, we talk Wisconsin Film Festival. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news talk and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Thursday on the Maggie Dawn Show, come join us. We'll be celebrating Transgender Day of Visibility.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. Busted pencils, fully
community-led education talk.
And I can just now hear somebody going, it sounds like you guys are supporting public schools. They indoctrinate people. You know what? If they indoctrinate people towards democratic ideals, well, then I guess I'm an indoctrinator. You know, if you're not defending democracy, again, I'm concerned about what you really do support.
Busted Pencils. This is Locally Grown Radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.